Welcome, everybody, to a brand new project on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. I am very excited to be bringing you the inaugural sports coverage on RHAP, as yet unnamed, but we'll figure that out as we go along. My name is Grace, and I'm excited for what we have on offer here. We have decided that we are going to delve into the world of sports, a highly requested topic of interest from Rob Has a Podcast fans over the years. Rob being a big sports fan himself and many reality TV show fans. Actually, somebody said that sports is really the first ever reality TV. And I would tend to agree. There is a lot to cover, a lot to get into. We have some, I'm going to bring you some guests each week. This week, I'll introduce AJ Mass is with me. AJ, how are you doing?
Doing good. I used to always consider sports as soap operas for men. That's what when I was growing up.
That was always pro wrestling, I heard, but we'll claim it for sports.
Sure. Yeah, it works. Yeah. But I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here for the launch of this brand new project. And we'll see how the coin gets tossed and who calls it in the air.
That's right. I am also joined by Lavina. Lavina, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be podcasting. I'm glad to be part of history for the Rob Has a Podcast Network, the cinematic universe, if you will.
That's right.
I'm super excited to be here. We're going to talk some hockey. You guys know me. You guys know me. So we'll get there.
Yeah. AJ, I brought you on. You're going to be my NFL, my football expert. Lavina, you're my NHL expert. I've surrounded myself with the best to kick off our first episode. And we're talking about the NFL today. We're going to talk about the NHL. A big weekend in the NFL. The week 18 wrapped up this past weekend. Some very big matchups, including a Sunday night football game that was, I would say, rather epic. Quite a game. We'll get into that, and then we'll get into we're sort of mid-season in the NHL. We're going to talk about who maybe has some potential to take home the Stanley Cup in a few months. Our goal here is to be pretty casual sports fans, I think. We'll get into it when we get into it. But the idea here is that this is a sports show for anybody. So we're going to talk through the big headlines. You know, there's a lot happening in the sports world right now. Obviously, the end of the NFL season. We have some all-star games in both the NBA and the NHL. We have the Australian Open is happening. The Olympics are happening. There's a lot we're going to get into week to week. Our sort of goal is to talk about the big things that are happening or potentially curious little oddities that are happening in the sports worlds that we find interesting. So I think the first thing I'd love to do is to get to know a little bit about, like, what is it about sports? I think it's like, you know, Rob as a podcast is taking on sports coverage. Why are we covering it? AJ, what's your sports background? What's your background in sports? What is who are the teams you follow as well, maybe?
Well, as a kid growing up in Flushing, New York, within walking distance of Shea Stadium, there was no way that I wasn't going to grow up and be a Mets fan, unfortunately, for what it was worth. And Jets as well, because they used to play there. But once the Jets moved, I felt betrayed and they're dead to me. So I switched to the Giants. So yeah. I'm a rare New York City Giants Mets combo.
Did you flip? You were a Jets fan, then you became a Giants fan?
I was probably more of a Jets fan because, again, I could look up my bedroom window and see the stadium. So, of course, I was going to root for them when they were playing.
That's
there.
So cool.
The Richard Todd era, to give you an idea of how A.J. Dewey and the Dolphins are going way back there. Sports my jam. You know, I played Little League growing up, thought, maybe I'll play for the Mets someday, and realized at some point, no, I will not.
Oh, you're not the A.J. Mass who played for the Mets? We've made a booking mistake.
I was on the field more than
Todd
Pratt for 4 years.
And
I was ended up being the mascot for the Mets. So I was 4 years. So I've always had a fondness for the sports. And certainly my career path has led me to the alphabetical television sports network of four letters. So
amazing. I'm a big believer. I think that this is my sports hot take. I'm going to do it in episode one, is that people should be fans of whatever team they want. If you want to, switch your allegiance, go ahead, do it. It's just, it's sports. We're all having fun, right? Just be a fan of whoever you want. I love that you switch from the Jets to the
I am
Giants.
Fine with that. However, I'm still not going to stop me from trashing my friend Gary at any point Ooh. I can, because he's a Dolphins fan because he liked the uniforms. And I think that is not the reason.
Mm-hmm. Fan police. We have fan police on us with the first episode.
Yeah. Lavinia, what about you? What's your sports history? What's your background? Who are you cheering for?
So diehard Bay Area sports fans. So that would be the San Francisco side of the Bay, I guess you would say. So we've got Sharks, 49ers, Warriors, and Giants, San Francisco Giants. But I do have an affinity for the Oakland A's. I'm always rooting for them. However, the Oakland A's fan base doesn't really like San Francisco Giants fan base. Although I feel like really not at all. And I feel like
it's the nice stadium, stadium jealousy, I would presume. But
it could be that. It could, I don't know what it is. A lot of people say little brother syndrome, you know, the big brother, you know, we get into a little bit of that. But so as far as my background goes, I've always surrounded myself with sports. My very first job when I was 16 was in an ice rink in the San Jose Sharks practice facility. I was mopping, I was teaching little kids how to skate, you know, all that fun stuff, like literally doing everything from stocking the vending machines and all that. And then I, you know, took up my hobby of video editing, and I took it to my career. And that's what I do now. I work for Regional Sports Network covering a lot of hockey, actually mostly shark stuff. So yeah, we're going to get a little bit into that later.
Fun. My first job, I believe, was also at a hockey rink, but that's because I'm from Canada where there are only jobs at hockey rinks. I did basically everything, every job there is to do in a hockey rink. I think I've done it. I've taken the money at the door. I've done the concession stand. I was a timekeeper. I was an announcer. I announced the goals for the folks who didn't want to sit out in the cold and chose to sit inside. They were very demanding that we announce who scored each goal. So I did that. I am from near the Toronto area, about 2.5 hours, 2-ish hours outside of Toronto. So I am a Toronto sports fan. I think unfortunately, depending on what sport I'm following at the time, the Raptors. Oh, it's been great. The Blue Jays, not bad. The Leafs. Rough.
They exist.
They are a team.
Not of burying your sorrow in your poutine.
That's right. Yep. That's right. I'll happily do that. So yeah, I mean, I am a big sports fan. To me, there is something amazing about sports. I think the way it builds community, the stories that can be told in sports, the athleticism of the game. I'm a big games person. I feel like most of my interests involve somebody needs to win and somebody needs to lose. Video games, board games, sports is a big part of that. Big sports fan and excited to launch into it. We're going to start here with the weekend in the NFL. And I don't think there's a bigger headline. You know, I think that if the sports gods were looking down, I don't think they could have given us a better game than the Raiders Chargers game from Sunday night. Let's set the stakes for the game. So the Raiders and Chargers both in playoff contention. It's basically if they win, they're for sure in. Winner goes into the playoffs, loser goes home. But there is this added prisoner's dilemma complex, situation here where if they just both tie, then they both get in and the Steelers do not make it into the playoffs. So on top of there being like one of the most unique sort of like situations to the end of a season, the last season of the game, not only was it like so complex in many ways, it also just ended up being like a really, really great game. AJ, you said you stayed up to watch it. What did you think of the Raiders Chargers game?
Well, and can I just add, just as precursor to this?
Yes.
In the afternoon games, the Steelers were playing the Ravens.
Yes.
Where they were in essentially the same situation where they both had to win to stay in, and they went to overtime as well, and a tie would have eliminated both of them. So we had already seen the Steelers like survive.
Yep.
Winning a game that had they tied, they would have been out. And the announcers were pretty much just like, and the Steelers have clinched a playoff spot. Well, unless there's a tie, but we all know that's not going to happen.
I love the caveat. That's like the italics print at the bottom of every graphic yesterday.
My thing about this is that Chappelle, who is a huge Ravens fan, wanted the Ravens to lose. And
yeah,
because he was like, we're tanking. I said, you know what would be sweet? Chappelle, what would be sweet if the Steelers win and then this game does end in a tie? That's what you really want to be.
Yeah, that's
for,
best case scenario. Fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could not believe my eyes because the Raiders, you know, they're up when they're 15.
Yeah. Have you, Levine, ever seen this many people on Twitter be rooting for a tie game? I feel like it's unheard of. I've never seen so many people on Twitter. I mean, sorry to any Steelers fans who are listening. I feel like it must have been so excruciating yesterday for to see everybody say, I hope it's a tie. Let's see a tie. Come on, just tie the game. Poor Steelers fans. But so many people wanted this like maximum chaos energy of a tie game yesterday.
You're asking for the wrong timeline, because unfortunately, unfortunately, my whole timeline was rooting for the Raiders because a lot of people, obviously I'm from the Bay Area and half the people, basically it's like, it's literally 50-50. 50% were like, listen, I'm a Vegas diehard. It's cool. The other half are like, they left. They betrayed us and we don't want anything to do with them. I'm kind of more on that side. Granted, I was never a Raider fan myself, but a lot of people that I personally know and I work with are still huge Raider fans. So there was a lot of stress on my timeline. But for me personally, let's go with chaos. I don't care. I'm not rooting for them.
Gosh, though, anybody who is like, you know, any Raiders fan who was like, just tie, don't go for the win. You were, but yeah, the outcome of that means you face the Chiefs next weekend. So, gosh, I think that the Raiders win. I mean, yeah, certainly we could have seen a backfire. So, I mean, the Raiders ultimately do go on to win the game in overtime, make it to the playoffs. The Chargers are out and the Steelers are in. But yeah, if the Raiders tie, then the Raiders play the Chiefs next weekend, which is now the outcome of the Steelers, which, you know, good for Ben Roethlisberger to get one last game. It's announced, I guess he hasn't officially announced that he's retiring. Everything is indicating that he will retire. I feel like would be quite the heel turn for him. He's not retiring. He's got one more game. Unfortunately, it will be up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. AJ.
And I think that's a winnable matchup.
You think it really is?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do I think the Steelers will win? No. But I mean, it's not like the Chiefs have been a team that has been striking fear in the hearts of their opponents this year. They look very beatable at times. Mm-hmm. And if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not fully healthy, and there are windows there where I could see the Steelers pulling this off. I mean, quite frankly, apart from the Patriots-Bills game going on, I'm thinking almost every one of these games is going to be blowout. So yes. I don't think we're seeing a lot of fun football, but I'd be very happy to be surprised by any of these. And I think that's the one that's for me is the most likely to surprise.
To the Steelers win next weekend. I think you're right. The Chiefs are not this unbeatable team, but I do have I think it'd be a long shot to see the Steelers pull out a victory next weekend. But, you know,
Najee I'll eat my 120 yards and two scores, baby.
I'll eat my words. There's happily. I'm very excited in this as we launch this sports podcast to have my takes be thrown right back at me as we continue to go. So the Raiders are winning. Gosh, I thought a really good game from Justin Herbert yesterday, and I am quite sad that we are not going to see him and the Chargers in the playoff. I think if there was something to take away from that game, I thought he was very, very good. And I think an unfortunate casualty of the Raiders winning yesterday.
It was a fun game. And it was one of those things where they needed to score on that last drive in regulation. And fourth down, and they get it in the first down. And every time you think they're not going to score, they move the ball a little bit further. And I mean, I honestly, as exhausted as they were, I understand why he kicked the extra point. Because at that point, you're just like, because a tie is good enough. But I'm like, oh, just go for the two, because your offense is not scoring in overtime. Yeah. It's just so exhausted.
So here's the question. You know, I think it's bantied about today on Twitter in all of the post game coverage. Were the Raiders going to tie that game? Were they going to? And you know, I think the question of any sort of QB kneel. I think we could, you know, in my opinion, I think you can sort of toss that idea out the window. I don't know if you disagree, AJ or Lavina, that some sort of QB kneel situation where they intentionally run out the clock that looks that intentional, I think would be subject to a bit of criticism. I think certainly like some running plays where you end up running out the clock is fine. The Chargers coach, they end up calling a timeout in overtime, stopping the clock. And there are people who seem to believe that that is the reason that the Raiders end up kicking this this field goal that otherwise they would have taken the tie. I don't know that I buy it, but, you know, for the conspiracy theorists out there, do we buy it? Lavina, do you buy it? The timeout? Yeah.
No, I don't think they were ever going to just I don't think they were just going to intentionally tie. It's still a professional sports team. You know what I'm saying? Like the fundamentals of it all is you want to win. And I think they know that they would get like castrated by their fan base if they're, I understand there are legitimate reasons behind tying and all of that, but I still think that the fan base is going to get you. Your own fan base is going to get you. The NFL fan base is going to get you. The sports media world's going to get you. So, like, I just don't believe that they were ever going to just let it tie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people, AJ, were reading into, it looks like there was a member of the Raiders goes to Eckhart and sort of, so he said, the Raider says something. Eckhart says, like, oh, really? The guy nods and he sort of shakes his head, which some are choosing to believe that saying we would have tied, we could have both made it in. And Eckhart kind of like in disbelief. But you think that's true?
I don't buy any of it. The thing is, they were not taking a timeout to stop the clock to save themselves some time or anything like that.
Yeah.
They were getting run over.
Yeah.
Third and four, which is one of those passing situations, which is a run situation. Like, they just was, let's just set a play and make sure they don't score a touchdown on us. Let's keep them, you know, within 3 or 4 yards if we can, because then it's a really long field goal and we'll get our tie. Let's not let them get a 15-yard play down the middle where they can kick an easy chip shot to beat us.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure we got our defense. And I think that's all that was going on there, to be honest.
I totally agree. I think it's fun to speculate, like, what if they were going to tie?
It didn't help that L. Michaels went nuts. Like, what are they doing? Like,
No tie. The Raiders end up winning. Chargers are out. They are heading home. The Raiders will face the Bengals next Saturday. Other important games. The Colts could not pull out a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, who last week lost 50-10. The Jaguars end up pulling out a victory. Gosh, this is a this is bad news for the Indianapolis Colts. This is not a good look, AJ.
They never beat the Jaguars. They never beat the Jaguars when they go down there. I think it's like their 0-5 or something last five games.
Gosh, if there's a game, you got to be able to pull out a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, luckily keep their first, they will get the first overall draft pick. But Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if you want to have a quarterback lead your team into the playoffs and have your team prepared, maybe get vaccinated, Carson.
I mean, right. I think that's a good call. I definitely agree with that. AJ, do you think, is Carson Wentz the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts next season?
Probably contract-based decision there. But I mean, look, there's a reason the Eagles didn't say, hey, come stay with us for the next 15 years.
It's true.
I have a love-hate relationship with the Eagles in that I hate them and I love to hate them.
Yes.
I've never thought they were that good an organization, and even they could see that he was not the right quarterback for them.
Yeah, this is rough. A game to win and a game that they could not win. It just looks so, miserable out there. They couldn't do anything. Yeah,
they do. And I saw a tweet that was like, the Colts went from the team nobody wanted to see in the playoffs to a team nobody is seeing in the playoffs. And that just goes to show how much things can change in a matter of 2 weeks.
Yeah. Go ahead, AJ.
It's all parody. It's like all these teams are, it's so hard for me to say, 9-8. So not used to saying those final records.
Yes.
But teams with 8 wins, with 9 wins, with 10 wins. And that's everybody. So it's like, are any of these 6 and 7 teams any better than the next two teams that were out? Probably not. That's why we're getting such crazy, permutations of who might be in and who might be out. I mean, the New Orleans Saints had no business being in playoff contention either.
Yep.
And they were insane 49ers comeback away from being the 7th seed. It's nonsense, but that's where we are.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun, at least, right? I mean, not fun if you're a Colts fan, but fun for everybody else. Yeah, and then I thought a good game yesterday. The 49ers win and make it in. I was not super impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo during most of that game, but he was dealing with a torn ligament in his thumb. Is that what he was dealing with? And I thought he sort of showed up at the end of the game there and powered the 49ers into the playoffs. So, you know, good showing. Samuel Debo, I think, I thought he had a really good game and a really good season as well. So,
yeah, fun game. He usually does. That's the thing. Debo Samuel, like, he's the bright spot for me. I haven't been super loving, like, I don't think it's any secret, I haven't been super loving the NFL regular season this year, like we've been talking about. Like, you know, Adrian mentioned parity, but like I have a counter argument to that. Like, is it parity or are all the teams just like painfully average? You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, who's, like you said, who's in and who's out. But again, for me, being a 49ers fan, Debo Samuel has been the bright spot. But I will say something. Seeing the discourse around the 49ers quarterback situation has been absolutely riveting all year. Being in it, seeing it, you know, is it going to be Jimmy? Oh, we're sick of Jimmy. And then it's like, is it going to be Trey Lance? Who's it going to be? But at the same time, the 49ers fans, and again, I'm allowed to say this because I'm a 49ers fan, don't come for me, but the 49ers fans are so upset about Jimmy all week. They're so upset with Kyle Shanahan all week, how he's using him, how he's playing him. But then like 15 minutes towards the end of the game, they're like singing his praises. There's Jimmy, there's our guy, Jimmy G, you know him, the handsome QB. It's like, guys, where are we?
They pull out the win. They're going to play the Cowboys next weekend. So, I mean, to me, those are sort of, you know, the headlines for yesterday. Anything else, AJ, that we you know, anything else that excited you from yesterday?
No, I think those were the main things. It was seeing these teams and who was going to qualify at the tail end of things. And then, you know, watching Green Bay not really care because they had the one, and watching Tennessee struggle to the one. Like, it's just really interesting to see how even the one seeds didn't look very ominous or threatening going into the playoffs. So
it's going to be
quite the tournament. They better both be lucky that they have buys.
Yeah, I would not say that I have a team. I had some people asking me, am I a Bills fan? I am not a Bills fan per se. The Titans are probably where if I had to pick a team, is where my allegiance lies the most. My older brother, who I absolutely admire and love a lot and is very jealous, AJ, that I'm chatting with you today. He is a big fan of you. He was a Titans fan growing up. And so I feel like by association, I'm a bit of a Titans fan, but even as a one seed with their bye, I'm a little worried. Let's chat about next weekend. We chatted about what happened this past weekend, but let's look forward to Wild Card weekend and let's get happy. You know, let's get a little bit weird. I have sort of built this show a little bit as News AF meets the BNB. And so I'm going to rely heavily on the BNB. What we're going to do here, let's look at the wildcard matchups. We'll factor in the two teams that have the buys as well. But let's make our predictions, except our predictions will be entirely based on the team's mascot. So this is not about the ability on the field. This is their mascot. So, for example, next weekend, we have the Eagles taking on the Buccaneers. So if a bird is fighting a pirate, who wins that matchup? So let me run through some of the matchups here next weekend. We have the Raiders against the Bengals. We have the Patriots at the Bills, the Eagles at the Buccaneers, the 49ers, which we'll have to figure out. I guess they're just going to be Niners fighting some Cowboys, Steelers and Chiefs, Cardinals at Rams. And then we also have the Titans and the Packers. Who has the best shot next weekend? If it's totally based on their mascot, who's the one seed, AJ?
All right, so I just want to do a quick shout out, though, because if we were actually going on the actual mascots, being a former professional mascot, for sports myself, on the Mount Rushmore would be Dan Mears, who is KC Wolf, the Chiefs mascot.
Okay.
Has been doing it since day one and is still still going strong, even recovered from an incident a couple of years back where he the rappelling equipment broke and he fell from the top of the stadium, broke his back.
Whoa.
And he has come back.
That nearly happened to Sharky of the San Jose Sharks. He got stuck in the rafters. I had to point that out.
Please have proper rigging equipment. And I think for the sake of this, when we do have the Chiefs, let's make them wolves. If their mascot is a wolf, for the sake of political correctness, we'll have them be wolves.
Even they know better.
True. Mm-hmm. So who do we got? Lavina, who strikes you as a, you know, Super Bowl winning candidate if we're basing it off of the mascot?
Just for all of them, a one seed.
Yeah, who's got the best shot here? I mean, my early indication is a pirate is rather vicious, a buccaneer. I don't know if I want to face off against a buccaneer.
I love that. My brain just goes to the Flying Dutchman and SpongeBob. Uh-huh. So totally vicious. I'm with you on that. But unfortunately, I'm going to try to not be biased every time I'm on this show. Uh-huh. But my brain, when I see 49ers, goes to Sourdough Sam, who is the actual mascot. I got to give it to him. I don't know. I'm going to go 49ers.
I mean, I have to. A miner with a pickaxe, that is pretty lethal.
That's just at close range. The cowboy has guns and we'll go from long range. Fair. And they don't have to approach him. I think definitely there's a hierarchy here. It's people over birds, but cats over people.
Okay. So we're sort of putting, you know, we're putting the Bengals, pretty high up. Who else we have? Are those the only birds? We have other
That's
birds.
It, baby.
That's it. Eagles are low down on the list. You think, I mean, an eagle,
I don't know.
Pretty vicious.
For me, if this was an NBA thing and we had Atlanta Hawks in here, I was thinking, okay, if we get a hawk in there, all right. But eagle, kind of close, but not so much. Hawk, I don't know. Mid-tier.
Yeah. Well, again, I think you have to consider the weaponry involved. If you're giving long range distance, then I think you got to go with the people over the birds.
Okay,
Helens notwithstanding.
Let's play this on Saturday. We have the Raiders at the Bengals. So you have a Raider. What, like a spiked helmet-y, intruder against the cat? You put cats in your intruder. Tier one. I don't know. What else do you call a Raider? What's the Raiders mascot, right?
A Raider also is he's got the eye patch. He's already operating with low peripheral vision.
Well, then you got
that gives the advantage to the Bengal.
Well, we'd say that about the Buccaneers too. Did you know that the Pirates don't wear eye patches because they have one eye? They wear it to improve their dark vision. They swap their eye when they go under deck so that they can see. So they might actually have improved dark vision, AJ.
I just learned something brand new.
So if it's a night game, we'll give Bengals over the Raiders. Patriots against the Bills. I feel like, what is this, like, Independence War, like, you know, cavalry against a Buffalo? I got to give it to the Buffalo. Well, maybe not. Historically.
Buffalo.
Well, this is Q Shaman notwithstanding. For quote-unquote Patriots. I think, again, the being trampled underfoot by the sheer size of the Buffalo, if we're going to use that as
We'll give it to the Bills. We'll give it to the Buffalo. Okay, Eagles and Buccaneers. Pirates versus Eagles. This is an intriguing one.
I'm going to choose, like I said earlier, we're thinking Pirates. So we're thinking Flying Dutchman and SpongeBob. Yeah. He's winning for me.
I agree. Cannons. Shoot the birds out of the sky.
There you go.
All right. 49ers. We get Miners and pickaxe against Cowboys. I'm going to give it to the Miners. I think they're, you know, Cowboys have guns. But
I think if they're on the field, though,
if
we're assuming they're on the field, so they're at close range close range, then the gun's not going to help you. You need at least a little bit of distance. So I think at close range, I'll give it to the Cutlasses.
Okay.
Of the 49ers.
Steelers and Chiefs. So factory workers against, we're going to say Wolves here. I'll give it to the Wolves, I think.
Wolves.
Factory workers go through hell.
That's true.
They've seen a lot of stuff.
Give it up for the factory workers. I'll give it up.
That's right. So I'm easy for me. Steelers.
Easy. I think you got to break the tie here.
I mean, let's just so far, this is almost pretty much going through what I think the games are going to be, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go with the Steelers. It's fine.
Okay, and then
Wolves are not really native to Kansas City, so they might be a little confused and out of their element.
True. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we haven't really taken in location of like, yeah, if an eagle is in Tampa Bay. Last one we have the Cardinals are at the Rams. Real bird. It's a full animal matchup. I think our first one, a Cardinal against a Ram. I think you got to give it to the Rams, right?
Yeah.
Because they're deadly when you play at altitude. So
okay. I think there's some room here for us to. I think this was fun. I think we can expand this later to who we see our Super Bowl prediction. But I think for now we'll leave it there at our wild card weekend preview. I think we're going to lock these in as official Rob as a podcast picks on the board officially. Okay. Bengals beats the Raiders. Bills beats the Patriots. Buccaneers beats the Eagles. The 49ers over the Cowboys. The Steelers over the Chiefs. AJ's could have seen the future earlier, and the Rams will beat the Cardinals. Those are our official picks.
And I would probably, if I were making my own picks, I'd probably go with five of those with the Monday night game. I would pick the Cardinals over the Rams, but otherwise I think those are actually pretty good.
any of the games next weekend, AJ, that you said that you're expecting a lot of blowouts. You talked about the parity of these teams sometimes leading to potentially some not so exciting matchups, but anything you're really looking forward to next weekend, any game that stands out to you in particular?
I mean, I'd like to see the Bills Patriots see what the weather's going to be like for that one, because that's going to make it interesting. I think the Bills will win, but if the weather's bad, that's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals are going to just destroy the Rams. There's nothing about Stafford and the Rams that impresses me at all.
Gosh, Stafford has looked rough the last few. I think he's thrown eight interceptions the last four games, I think.
And if you really notice, you were saying how well the 49ers played the second half, that second half adjustments, and Sean McVay does not know how to do them yet.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
So, I really want to see the Bengals. I think the Bengals are the most exciting team in the league right now.
Yeah.
And if they're healthy, I just Burrow to Chase all day.
Should be fun. I thought, 49ers game, Raiders Chargers game, a player we didn't talk about, Max Crosby, was just incredible that game. He was all over, the offense there. So, I'd like to be exciting to see him next Saturday. Levine, any game that stands out to you?
I mean, definitely 49ers Cowboys, but I will admit that, you know, for me, I'm trying not to be biased, and I really do believe that the 49ers are probably going to lose. That's just my take on it. Just all the chaos throughout the season. I just don't think that they'll be able to match up with the Cowboys defense. That's just me.
All right. That is our NFL coverage. So we'll be back next week. We'll chat through the results of wildcard weekend. Looking forward to that. Let's switch gears and let's start talking about the National Hockey League. Lavina, you're a big hockey fan. It is mid-season. Chat through us, where are we at mid-season?
So mid-season is actually very interesting because, like we've been talking about parity a lot. I feel like NHL is so big on parity, but I will get to something when I get to my personal legitimate contenders for the cup this season. I'll get to it, but I do think that a lot can change, and it's insane how much can change. Mm-hmm. Like, we're mid-season, and a lot of other, like for the NBA, for example, we can kind of see how maybe the playoff picture could be laid out potentially. But for the NHL, it's like, who knows what's going to happen. So I think I'm ready to get into my legitimate contenders. So here's my little tiers that I made. So I've got legitimate contenders. I call this sneaky sneaksters. I only have one team on there. So we'll see which one that is, and it might surprise you guys too. And then I also have just in general, the teams that have surprised me the most this season. It doesn't have to mean that they're in a playoff, you know, position or even a wild card position, just general surprise. And then for me, most exciting to watch, I've got one team in that. And we'll get started.
Okay. Who are your legitimate contenders? Who could win the Stanley Cup this season?
So, and here's my thing. I'm such a jinx. I'm such just like
that's
I'm a superstitious
great. I love
person.
It. That's fine.
So
you didn't put your team in there. That's good. That's smart.
Oh, Lord, no. We'll get to that. we're not going to get to the San Jose Sharks right now. Uh-huh. So for my first legitimate contender, it's the Florida Panthers. And you know what? That home record, they've only lost three games at home.
Yeah.
It's January and they've only lost three games at home. Like, to put that into perspective, you're not going into Sunrise and expecting, I mean, of course every team expects to win. You're never going to hear that in an NHL locker room. Oh, we're going to lose today. But I really like the chances are higher.
What is happening in, I mean, they are the Florida Panthers. We also have the Tampa Bay Lightning. What is it about Florida that is somehow breeding good hockey? I don't understand. It just, like, as a Canadian, it boggles my mind. I mean, I know you can, I know that there are indoor rinks everywhere. I know they don't have to play outside, but it boggles my mind. What's happening down there in Florida? I don't know.
I have no idea. And that's funny because my second legitimate contender is once again the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, but every year you have to put the Tampa Bay Lightning on their contenders.
That's the thing. No? That's the thing. In my notes, I literally have WTF Florida next to both these teams because it's like, what is going on? But then it's like the parody conversation as well, because it's like, obviously the Tampa has won twice in a row and they're a contender again. And it's like, hello, what's going on, NHL? Yeah. Like, we were talking about parody for so long.
AJ, you're showing us a rat.
Yes, this is an actual, was thrown on the ice during the Stanley Cup Finals rat from the Florida Panthers last run.
Wow.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, we are
given to me by their mascot.
Why are they throwing rats? Did I miss that?
Yeah, it was. This was, back in the day when they were their first trip there. The Van Beesbrouck era.
I think it was the year of the rat, right? Was that not?
They had actually killed a rat in the locker room.
Okay.
Went on a long winning streak, and the fans caught on to this and they figured, well, the Red Wings throw an octopus. We're going to
throw a rat. And man, hockey fans love throwing weird things on the ice. Yeah.
And so I happen to have one. So we're talking Florida. I had to grab it from my shelf.
That's incredible.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah. Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay. The other I was going to say about the Florida Panthers. I was very sad after a year up in Toronto for Joe Thornton to leave. But if he could win a Stanley Cup, I'd be pretty happy about that.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite player, favorite athlete of all time. If you follow me on Twitter, I don't shut up about that. Uh-huh. I think that. I mean, a lot of people are saying it's his last chance. We get that a lot with him. He's not super interested in retiring anytime soon. The guy is just a tank. He's constantly wanting to play and he's still producing. That's the thing. So I think that, hopefully he can get that win.
Someone's got to just keep playing hockey forever, right? Why not Joe Thornton?
Yeah.
Why not?
The Jaromir Jagr of today.
He's still playing, right? He's still playing in Russia.
Overseas.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Amazing. Who else do you have in your contenders bucket?
So I have the Washington Capitals, pretty straightforward. Let's be honest. Alex Ovechkin, the best scorer. I can never say that scorer that we've ever seen.
Yes.
So, and there's no denying that.
Yes. Best scorer ever. People are going to come at you with Gretzky takes. What do you think?
Oh,
better than Gretzky?
I mean, 100%.
That's scoring.
Yes. 100%. I do believe that because he's coming for his record. I do believe, I understand that it's going to be a little bit, I can look that up, but it's
730 to 894. It's something probably that might not be right for Ovechkin, but somewhere around about 150 probably. Definitely doable. Definitely doable.
Yeah. Wow. So I think
that'd be a big deal.
If he's on a team, I am going to call them a contender. And I do believe that they have really great offense, not even just coming from him. So I do believe that. And then my last two, I don't know if Grace, this is kind of for you slightly. I don't know if I'm slightly trolling a little bit, but the note that I have next to it. So I have two teams with this note next to it. I have Carolina Hurricanes and Toronto Maple Leafs. But my note says, we say this every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more like nowadays Leafs fans say, like, we might win in the first round, but other than that, of the playoffs, that's about as far as the Leafs tend to get these days, is to the second round. But gosh, I do, you know what, more so than you know, the Leafs winning would be quite the moment here in the city of Toronto. I don't have a lot of fears. I'm not really afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of spiders. My biggest fear, I think, is if the Stanley Cup, if the Leafs are ever in the Stanley Cup finals and lose, I think might be the biggest fear I ever have, because Toronto, I think, would be a catastrophe.
Vancouver part two, 2010.
Yeah. I don't know. AJ, are you familiar with that most riots that have ever happened in Canada are hockey related?
Oh,
it's like geez, 7 out of 10, I think, or something.
What,
like
no Grey Cup riots?
No, not yet. No. Conveniently, we started this podcast after the Grey Cup was over.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember the night that the 2010 Vancouver, they have a name, the 2010 Vancouver riots, after they lost to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup finals. Listen, at that point they hadn't won a Stanley Cup. They still haven't won a Stanley Cup for over 40 years now since the inception of their franchise. And listen, I'm a Sharks fan. I've been there, but that's double the time. Yeah. So I understand being upset about it, but the dramatics, it's a bit much, guys. It's a bit much.
Listen, it is a bit much. As a fellow, you know, Canadian, we don't need to keep rioting over hockey losses.
No, but I'm glad. I'm very glad that Vancouver does not have a Stanley Cup win. As someone who grew up with the Rangers and the Pavel Bure 94
Stanley Cup,
I was like thankful that. And see, my hockey fandom really ends there.
Yes.
Because the Rangers finally, you know, they won in 1940. It took 54 years for them to win again. And so that was like the mountain I had to climb as a Rangers fan. And then we won. And then 1995, we were awful. But you're like, oh, but it doesn't matter because we won. They get a pass. And after that, you're just not as passionate anymore. And then once the strike hit in 1997, I was done. I tapped out. I have not watched hockey regularly since then.
It's I feel a bit that way. The Raptors, right? They won. And then ever since then, you know, Kawhi left. It's like, it's, you know, they're fun. They're still good. They're not super, super bad, but it's also like, yeah, we won, whatever. We won in my lifetime. I'm happy. I'll take whatever else comes after this. So, that definitely resonates that, after the Rangers won, you were kind of like, yeah, all right. So those are the Hurricanes as well, right?
Yeah, the Hurricanes too. Not too much to say about them. It's really just the same story, like I said, every year. You know, they have a cool Twitter account. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I really don't have that much. Like, people are always saying, oh, the Hurricanes. But I just don't feel. And watch them win this year. And someone's going to clip this off and send it to me. And old takes exposed.
I feel like the Hurricanes, I do feel like their social media presence. Again, I feel like I live in a little bit of a world where, like, sometimes, you know, you're bubbled in. But it does feel like the Hurricanes would be one of the few teams that, like, if they won, my Twitter timeline would be rather happy about that, I feel like.
Yes.
And that can't be said for every team. Okay, so that's your legitimate contenders. Who could sneak in there, Lavina? Who could sneak in and win the Stanley Cup?
You know what? I don't love saying this, but what is up with the Anaheim Ducks? The Anaheim Ducks, like, where did they even come from? I don't understand. I didn't think that they would be good for a few years. They said this about all of the California teams.
Yeah.
And Anaheim is really out here. So, you know, Ryan Getzlaff still going strong.
Still going.
I think that, you know, they have a good chance of, in my opinion, I don't know if they're going to win. If I were to make like a hard, you know, if I were to choose where they end up, I think maybe a second round exit around there.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, I remember the Ducks were in it, just like the Sharks, you know, every single year they were in it. They were in it, but they would always have a first round exit or a second round exit. So I fear it'll be the same thing for, I mean, not fear, because I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I remember growing up, the Ducks were good, and they, it's sort of like, you know, we were Mighty Ducks fans. So it was like, yeah, okay, root for the Ducks. Yeah, they're fun. So cool,
it's so funny because I remember growing up, there were no Ducks.
There were no Ducks at all.
I'm just past the original six, but.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
I did want to mention they have a lot of. See, the thing is, this is where the importance of the farm system comes in. Where if your AHL team, if your rookies are, if they're if you draft well, basically is what I'm saying, then your team can make a quick recovery. So I think that's what's happening with Anaheim. And I think like their rookie Trevor Zegras had that one goal that was like going viral. I don't know if you guys saw it, like the flipping and the, he was the assist.
Did you see this, AJ? We'll try and, how do we describe it so people can search on Twitter? He like, this is the one where he flipped it over the net and it went right in, right?
Smacked it in.
Yeah. It was very, very good. It was very fun.
A lot of people were upset about that. You know, the age old hockey purists are like, oh, well, he's showboating and, you know, he's doing this. It's like, you got to market the game.
Is there a ton of that in hockey? Like there's certainly the three of us are baseball fans. Like we will, you know, unfortunately baseball is in a bit of a lockout right now. So probably not a ton to talk about baseball wise in the next few weeks. There might be some Hall of Fame chatter, but gosh, if there is a sport that likes to grumble a lot, baseball is probably at the top of the list. But is it similar in hockey? There's a sort of that old guard of hockey fan.
Most definitely. I think I will say baseball is probably worse, but hockey's no better. It's right there. It's right there behind it. It reminds me of when Sharks at the time rookie Tomas Hertl, it was, I think in 2014, he scored 4 goals. And it's funny, this obviously isn't why the goalie retired, but he retired immediately after happened.
I remember this. If there's a name that stands out, it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Hertl. Certainly. So yes, I do remember this story. Yeah.
He scored the 4 goals. Obviously he was a rookie and he wasn't, at that point in time, his English wasn't great. So it's not like, and his personality wise, I can say right now, he wouldn't really need to feel like defending himself just in general, but like, he wasn't going to defend himself is what I'm saying. Right. A lot of the media were saying he's showboating. He shouldn't have done that. It's disrespecting the game. Kind of the same things that Trevor Zegras was going through, which is ridiculous. Yeah. And at the time, Joe Thornton, we're talking about him again. He was one of the captains of the Sharks, very, very much took Hertl under his wing, and he was defending him in the media. And I won't quote what he said, but he said something about private area on him, and said that he would whip certain things out if he scored 4 goals.
So. Okay. Wow.
Great defense.
Wow.
Took the attention away from Tomas Hertl very well.
Teammates back. Okay. So Anaheim is your sneaky sneakster, but you have 3 teams and actually they are all California teams who are your most surprising of the season, including the team you just mentioned, the Anaheim Ducks. Who else do you have in that list?
So we've got my guys, the San Jose Sharks and the Los Angeles Kings. Everybody was counting all 3 of these teams out. Obviously, like I mentioned, Anaheim's the biggest surprise because they have a legitimate shot at going somewhat deep in the playoffs. The Sharks are currently in a wild card spot and the Kings are kind of hanging out around there as well. It's the parody, you know, the craziness of the NHL. It's January, things flip around back and forth. But the Pacific Division in general has always been like this for as long as I can remember, my whole life, basically. Mm-hmm. And things can change really quickly. It's really strange. The Sharks entered the season just completely being expected to be one of the worst teams in the league, like bottom 5 of all 32 teams.
Yeah.
Like people actually projected the brand new Seattle Kraken to be better and higher than them in the standings.
Yeah. This is going to be my question for you, Lavina. So, the Las Vegas Golden Knights shoot out of the expansion, being an expansion team and have great success. One of the most exciting stories of the last 2 years, I feel like, is this expansion team having so much success. They make a Stanley Cup final. Am I misremembering that? Yeah. They are still doing quite well. They're at the top of the Pacific Division. What's the difference here between the Golden Knights and then the Kraken that Vegas had so much success and Seattle is struggling at the start of their first season?
So the expansion draft in general was designed not basically like you're starting, like it's straightforward. You're starting a new team, got to build in some way. And I think that from what I remember, there was some kind of rule change where they were like, let's not make this easy for Seattle the way that it was. I'm not easy. being legitimate when I say this, but like rigged for Vegas. I'm not a Vegas fan. Notice I haven't mentioned them at all.
Yes.
But yeah, anyways, so that's kind of what happened. But also on top of that, I think that Seattle did not draft well. That's just my personal opinion. Yep. A lot of their fans are upset about that right now because they're seeing that in action.
Oh no, they're struggling in their first year in the league. Oh no, what a rough start to your career, to your sports fandom. AJ, if you could have an expansion team in any league, where would you place it? Do you get to run the team? Where are you? What league are you choosing, and where are you building a team?
Well, I mean, I'm a baseball fan first and foremost, so I want control of a baseball team.
Where are you
absolutely
putting it?
You know, take the financials out of it. That's just from a sheer passion standpoint.
I'll lend you some money for an expansion team.
There you go.
Where are you putting it?
The old school in me wants
you coming to Montreal.
Wants to stay Expo? Montreal,
yes.
but that no.
Don't build a Montreal.
No, I think the Carolina area is ripe for a team now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Don't worry. The Expos are going to have a timeshare with the Tampa Bay Rays. Don't worry. That's fine.
At some point.
Lavina, where are you? What sport are you choosing, and where are you putting an expansion team?
I'll go with hockey just cause duh. I think that Portland, Oregon, they've got the Portland Winter Hawks. I think that they can get a team. That's the same thing as Seattle. Like we were saying for years, they got all these junior league teams. So does Portland.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember there was a rumor many years ago that there was going to be this like second GTA team, the Greater Toronto area. There's going to be like a Hamilton team. Ooh. Gosh, I think that's a big mistake, but it could be interesting to see who's, especially as the Leafs continue to not win a Stanley Cup, who eventually...
They're like, let's add another team.
Yeah, we'll just
let's add a team to Kamloops.
Yeah, Kamloops. Yeah, Moose Jaw. We got tons of fun Canadian cities. Okay, that's the Sharks. Very quickly, a big story this weekend. Vander Kane gets cut from the San Jose Sharks. You are you know what's happening over there. What happened? He tested positive for COVID, right? They've cut him. The Players Association is going to file or has filed a grievance. Yeah,
something like that. Actually, just as we were talking, there are teams that are currently interested. And it's crazy to say that actually, because like one of the teams, I believe, from what I saw, was the Edmonton Oilers. And let me confirm that. But basically, his agent is claiming that there's plenty of teams that are interested, and he's taking calls on him.
Very interesting. Seems like the Sharks maybe got a little bit, I don't want to say that a player who tests positive for COVID and travels is a lucky thing to happen, but it does seem like potentially being able to find a breach in his contract seems to be an amicable way for the team to decide to end their arrangement with Evander Kane. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, like you asked Grace in the beginning, what happened? It's, for me, it's like, what didn't happen? Like, what did he do right? Because he already did breach his contract. This time he just breached it again in a similar same way, but with the AHL team, which is still the same organization. So it's like, what can they do? This is the right decision to make. And it's just a difficult conversation because there's a lot of, you know, moral things that went on that are just completely wrong. And then there's also the contractual things that were totally wrong. And so, you know, I think that the team's ready to move on. The players were interviewed about it. You know, Erik Karlsson was interviewed about it. Tomas Hertl, they both said that we're not paying attention to the news right now. We're focusing on the team. And I think that the locker room is a better place without him.
I mean, the complicated thing of being a sports fan, right? You know, when I was talking with Rob about the show, I mean, one of the things that's, you know, there tends to be ways in which, politics and societal issues find themselves in sports. These are human beings. So certainly this Evander Kane situation is one. There are plenty in the NFL. We look at who might be a MVP contender in Aaron Rodgers, certainly had a tumultuous season. Some, you know, morally morally ambiguous decisions. This is maybe not ambiguous, pretty obvious, perhaps. But yeah, we'll get into it. We need to. Our aim here on the show is to be light and fun, but we will not shy away, you know, from talking about some of this stuff when it comes up. So that's the Sharks. And who's your last team? Who surprised you? Finally, Lavina.
The LA Kings. I think they have a similar story to Anaheim. I think that they have, you know, their farm teams. They're building up a good, you know, rookie movement. I think all three of these teams are on a rookie movement. Unfortunately, I think the Sharks are a little bit more behind. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that with just complete honesty. You know, they drafted William Eklund this past season, who was seen as, you know, the biggest get of the draft. But he's currently playing in Sweden to, you know, build up his skills and his career more. So we'll hear from that. So I do think that the Kings and the Ducks are a little bit more ahead than the Sharks, but we'll see. I'm excited for my state.
Okay, fun. AJ, you talked about growing up a Rangers fan. Lavina, you have the New York Rangers as the most exciting team in the NHL. AJ, it might be time to jump back into your New York Rangers fandom there. Lavina says they're the most exciting team in the NHL.
That's exciting to hear. However, you know, what are the least New York things to do?
It's to be honest.
It's a jump on the bandwagon.
Come on, the bandwagon.
No one in New York does.
True.
The thing that has always attracted me to the Rangers is the goaltending. How's the goaltending? It would be my question with Henrik finally gone.
Right. Yeah. For me, it's funny you say that because everyone's like, love Henrik Lundqvist was like the rock of the team. But for me right now, I'm loving watching the forwards. Like for me, Mika Zibanejad is one of my favorite players in the league. I'm one of those hockey fans that hates everybody else. So if you're not on the Sharks for me, I'm like, I'm not looking for you. But Mika Zibanejad is like incredible to watch and I'm jealous. And he's like my number one, like wish list player, but I know that the Rangers are never going to give him up. Also Artemi Panarin. I think he had an injury. I think he's coming back now. Yeah. And Barclay Goodrow, he was on the Sharks and he's thriving. He's absolutely thriving with the Rangers. So they're exciting to watch. I didn't list them as my contender. Hey, you know what? Like I said, they could easily sneak in there. But I think that they're on a upward trajectory, whereas before it was just kind of stagnant. So honestly, AJ, like I would pay attention a little bit more.
Yeah, get in there.
Second you heard it here Eastern, first.
In the Eastern Division. Okay, Lavina, you have a game for us.
I do. So obviously during the Stanley Cup playoffs, I believe like around in the middle of it, Jimmy Fallon does this game where clearly I don't think Jimmy Fallon and his team are super huge hockey fans. So they just take the players' headshots, which are just notoriously bad. Let's be honest with ourselves. And they give them little superlatives based off of just that one photo. So I thought it'd be fun if I read off some of the actual ones that they've done.
Yes.
And you guys could fill in the blanks with who you think, not necessarily like who you think it is, but just who another person who could also fit the description.
All right. I will say can be fairly Leafs focused, the same way that sounds like you can sometimes be Sharks focused, at least in your love of them. Sounds like AJ has fallen off the Rangers bandwagon before it's about time to get back up. So we'll see. I think we'll play as a team. Yeah, AJ?
Yeah, I'll go the celebrity angle, I think, with these.
Okay. Okay. That sounds fun. I'm with that.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go with the first one. This is my favorite one, so I'm just coming in hot. Most likely to be the first guy James Bond punches in a movie.
Oh, my. Who? is it Alexander? But he feels like he might have some like he doesn't maybe have like serious Bond villain energy, but like a Russian bad guy. Could it be Alexander Ovechkin?
How did you get that? Like immediately. Like
so I recently on the over on Post Show Recaps recently, Jessica Lisa and I did some Bond rewatching leading up to No Time to Die. So I feel like I have a good sense of like, because Ovechkin doesn't ring as the main villain, but he does have a little bit of like feisty henchman energy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I remember there was a, I believe ESPN hockey commercial back in the day where they had him as a Russian spy.
Yeah,
so
see, I see it. I see
they're well within the, they know, we all are in on the joke.
Yeah. Okay. Look, we're one for one, AJ.
Wow, excellent. Woo, okay. Go team.
Yay.
I would have gone with Jake Gyllenhaal, but
the famous hockey player, Jake Gyllenhaal. That's good.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Taylor Swift, both signs.
So the next one will be most, this is so ridiculous, most likely to be two humans sewn together.
Oh my gosh. Most likely to be two humans sewn together. Who's really big? Oh, it's got to be Zdeno Chara.
Why are you, Grace? I need to pick harder ones.
He's the tallest man alive. He has to be two. There's no way that guy isn't two humans sewn together. He's like, this is a real shout out to BoJack Horsepod listeners. He's a real human adultman. No, that's not his name. Human Adultman, is that his name? Something Adultman.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. I'm going harder now.
Okay.
Like, Grace is just like getting
okay.
me. Most likely to get caught in the locker room inflating his torso with a bike bump. Not sure I agree with the one that they chose, but.
You know, this is, you know, shout out to like, maybe like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, like 7 years ago, it feels very Phil Kessel-y.
Yes.
but I don't know if it's Phil Kessel. Is it Phil Kessel? It's not Phil
Kessel. It's not, but can I just say that I'm obsessed with that because Phil Kessel, notorious Sharks killer, there's this tweet that nobody remembers from like the early dawn ages of Twitter. When everyone was like, not really on here. There's a tweet from like 2013 or something where he just tweets Phil exclamation mark. And I always retweet that. Like no one remembers the tweet. And I'm like, guys, Phil. Anyway,
when this drops, we should all just tweet our own names. Exclamation mark. Yes. No, I don't know. Who is it?
For some reason, Marc-Andre Fleury. But the thing with Marc-Andre Fleury is that that to me feels like a personality thing, and Marc-Andre Fleury's personality is so nice and like very much humble that I didn't think that he would like pump his
especially headshot torso. Like if you look at his like head, if you look at his shot, he just looks like he's like a nice guy, you know, he looks like totally your friend's nice boyfriend who's a nice guy. Yeah
there you okay go.
he's a goalie
yeah,
they're like haha goalie.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Okay. We slumped on that one, but what else? Another one?
Let's go with the finale.
Okay.
So you got to choose your own because I have a feeling you're going to get it, Grace. Most likely to bankrupt the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, I know this one.
Of course you do.
That would be Brent Burns. Yeah.
It is Brent Burns.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a picture? Look up a picture of Brent Burns, AJ.
I'm doing that right now.
You'll get it at home as well. Google search Brent Burns. This one will make a lot of sense. Yeah.
Well, I see a picture here with the playoff beard. So, of course, he's going to probably beat up.
That's
his everyday beard.
That's his beard.
He was on the TV show Vikings. That's how notorious his beard is, that they cast him in Vikings. So, yeah, that's a good one. Brent Burns, notoriously does not have many teeth left in his mouth. Okay, fun, Lavina. That was great.
Awesome.
Okay, I mean, you segued me perfectly here.
I know.
Marc-Andre Fleury actually made history in the NHL this weekend. He became the first NHL goalie to defeat all 32 teams in the NHL. Obviously, I have to imagine there are some other goalies who have done, you know, the 30, but because of the Kraken and the Golden Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury becomes the first team to beat all 32.
Shout out to classic Eddie Jockman for being one of the first to beat all five other teams.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing. That's a good stat. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game. I'm going to quiz you two. I'm going to put you two on a team. I have three questions, one from the other three major sports in the US. So I have an NFL question, an MLB question, and an NBA question that sort of relates to somebody or a team beating everybody. We'll start with, where do you want to start? You want NFL, MLB, NBA? Where do you want to start?
Let's go NBA.
NBA, because it's probably the least likely for us to get it right.
Okay.
there is a team that in the modern age has beat every other team in a single season three times. I'll give you a hint. They did it in the years 2014 to 15, 2015 to 2016, and 2016, 2017. They are a fairly, you know, well-run organization. Which NBA team has beaten every other team in a single season three times? They did it 3 years in a row.
Warriors.
It's not the Golden State Warriors.
What?
They might have done it since. I was having a little bit of time fact-checking. I need to get an official fact-checker.
73-9?
They must have done it the year that they went. They were that good. It must have been an old article that I found. They probably did it. I have to imagine they did it the year that they were that good, unless they lost to the same team twice. But this is a team who did it 3 years in a row, so we'll stick with that.
So then perhaps the Lakers.
It's not the Lakers.
Ooh.
I'll give you, collectively, I'll give you one more guess.
Cavaliers.
Ooh, not the Cavaliers. It is the San Antonio Spurs. Famously well-run organization. Those 3 years. Yeah, Greg Popovich. They defeated every team that season. Or those three seasons, defeated every other team. All right, NFL or MLB?
Football.
Okay, let's jump into football. Yeah, you two both said you're big MLB fans. We're saving that one for last. Okay, there are only four quarterbacks who have beaten all 32 teams. So they have to have beaten all 32 current active teams. Four quarterbacks. I'm going to ask you to actually collectively as a group name them all.
So who's the three other than Brady?
It is Tom Brady is one. Played with the Patriots for a long time, but she went to the Buccaneers and beat the Patriots. So Tom Brady is on the list.
Peyton
Manning is on the list. Played for the Colts for a long time. Also went to the Broncos. So he has beaten every team in the NFL.
It can be Eli.
No, Eli only played for the Giants, so he never got to beat the Giants.
Yep.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is correct. Brett Favre beat every team in the NFL. And there's one more player. You know them. You know.
I'm getting
a little tricky. And I actually had to like double check this because I did feel like he was a guy. I have not been an NFL fan for a super long time. So he definitely felt like somebody, and just in my head, I was like, he's played for the same team though his whole career. So he definitely is affiliated with a team, I will say.
Joe Montana.
Not Joe Montana.
Okay. Because he went to Kansas City late. So
I'll give you a hint. I just want to check something. He is retired. He's a retired quarterback. He is recently retired.
I have no idea. I'm stumped.
Is this fun? I feel like it's fun. So I will tell you. Let me keep giving you hints.
Drew Brees.
It's Drew Brees. Yeah. Oh.
He started with the Chargers.
Played with the Chargers for a few seasons and then went to the Saints. He really feels like a Saints lifer to me anyway. So that's the four. So Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Brett Favre are the four players. This one's going to be much easier, I think, especially for you, AJ, because we're going to switch over. Our final question is going to be for the MLB. There are 20 pitchers who have beaten every team in the MLB. I'm just going to ask you to, maybe we'll go back and forth. We'll just try and name some. I think this will be more fun. Collectively, I'm hoping you can name probably like 10, maybe. So they have beaten every major league team in the MLB. Who you got? Who do you think?
All right, so this would be pitchers beat every team currently, so they can't be like too old. Bartolo Colon, I know, is one.
Bartolo Colon has absolutely beaten every MLB team. Probably my favorite person on the list.
Love. Big fat has to be there.
Love Bartolo Colon. Lavina, you have any idea? A guess?
Madison Bumgarner.
He is not on the list from what I see. Good guess. Played a long time with probably the problem there is he played on the Giants for so long and then went to the Diamondbacks. So his interleague play will be rough. AJ, you got a guess?
Pretty sure both of the Diamondbacks pitchers. So that'd be Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, did it?
Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling are both on the list. Yeah.
Chris Sale?
Chris Sale is not on the list, and probably for a similar reason in that he was on the White Sox and then the Red Sox. So his time would be limited. Interleague, his ability to beat the National League teams would just be so much less often, right? It's a good guess.
All right. So these pitchers pitched a long time in the AL, came to the NL to wrap it out, or vice versa, just because interleague play, like you said, has its limits.
There are three active pitchers on this list, if that helps at all.
Well, Scherzer's probably on the list.
Max Scherzer's absolutely on the list, yeah. He finished that feat on May 11th, 2016, beating the Detroit Tigers, a team that he had played for.
Right, and Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Cole's on the list. Lasted again. He at New York beat the Houston Astros. Unsurprisingly, that you would beat the team you played for a long time.
Exactly. Oh yeah, I was in Arizona. Let's stay in Arizona. Dan Heron, I think, did it.
Dan Heron did do it. August 13th, the Washington Nationals beat the Philadelphia Phillies. You got one more guess in either of you, and then I'll sort of give you the highlights of the list. There's one more active player on there.
Zach Greinke.
Zach Greinke has done it. Did it in September 14, 2019, beating the Kansas City Royals, a team in which he played for. Member of the Houston Astros. You got most of the modern ones. You got Cole, Greinke, Bartolo Colon, Max Scherzer, John Lackey. Did it. Tim Hudson did it. Kyle Loesch did it. Very interesting name, to be honest.
Kyle Loesch.
Yeah. Dan Heron, AJ Burnett, Derek Lowe, Vicente Padilla, Javier Vasquez, Barry Zito, a favorite of mine, Randy Johnson, Jamie Moyer, Woody Williams, Curt Schilling, Terry Mulholland, Kevin Brown, and Al Leiter. Al Leiter was the first one.
So is Barry Zito the only one who has beaten all 30 teams and been on The Masked Singer?
That has to be. I think that has have to be his claim to fame on that list. Yeah. All right. I think that is our first episode, unless, so, you know, we could do a little bit of quick hits here. Any other stories we didn't really talk about? You want to talk about, I don't know if either of you are NBA fan, Klay Thompson made his return, after 2 years, actually suffered an injury, I think, to the Toronto Raptors, in the, NBA finals, finally returned to quite the ovation, with Golden State. Very happy to see Klay Thompson back. That was exciting. Today, as we record it, Black Monday, Vikings, Dolphins, Bears have all made changes to their coaching staffs, and some of them, their general managers. So the Yankees today hired Rachel Balcovec to be their first manager of their minor league team. I think they're a low A ball team, but very exciting there. Yeah, anything else that jumps out to either of you you want to chat about this week in sports?
I just would like to pimp my colleague Stefania Bell and Andre Snellings wrote a really nice article on Klay Thompson's return.
Nice.
On ESPN. Stefania is one of the best in talking injuries. She knows all about what to expect in that and how long before Klay returns to being Klay. It's the first injury you can forget about, she says, like that's healed. So it's don't worry about the fact that he's had two injuries back to back, but the second one, it's going to take a little while. And so, you know, but by the time the playoffs comes around, he could very well be the Klay that we remember taking his team to the NBA finals. So,
I mean, I never want to see anybody injured, but gosh, to see Klay Thompson, you know, be out for the rest of that NBA finals was not exactly, I'm struggling to word this, that sucks. I feel bad for him. Also, now we don't have to play against him. So, but I'm very happy to see him back on the court. It's exciting.
Definitely. That's my favorite basketball player. So it felt very empty not having him there for 2 years. It was a very strange feeling.
Steph was pumped yesterday. You see, Steph was so excited to see him back on the court. It was really nice. It was cute.
Yeah. And Draymond, is hurt and didn't want to, wasn't going, they weren't going to play him throughout the game. But he did start in the starting lineup, and, but they did an immediate timeout so that he can walk off just because he wanted to be part of the moment. So it was really great.
It was like a Willis Reed. It didn't work because they didn't win.
Nice. Anything else?
Yeah, just the Dolphins made a really stupid firing. But other than that.
Yeah.
Win 8 of your last 9 and bear almost make the playoffs after making the playoffs.
Yeah. They're going to make a change. Ryan Flores. Yeah. After 3 seasons. All right. So first of all, thank you for joining us on this inaugural edition of this sports podcast. Very excited to keep going. We'll have a carousel of guests coming in each week. Don't worry, it's not Black Monday for either AJ or Lavina. They will be back at some point to chat more about sports. Before we head off, AJ, what else do you have going on in the world? What would you like to promote?
Sure. As always, my 2 other podcasts that I do on the regular, since, the Walking Dead franchise is still off for another couple of weeks before I jump back into the fray with Jessica Lease and Chappelle and Josh Wigler on our quest to never, ever stop podcasting about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
In all of its forms. I have a trivia podcast called Beat My Guest, which is currently in its 9th season. You can find that where all good podcasts are sold. And by sold, I mean just streamed into your devices. But that's a fun little trivia ride. And also, my friend Kentad Svensgaard and I are in the middle of our perhaps foolish, but nevertheless, we're going to do it, complete rewatch of Criminal Minds, all 15 seasons. I have watched the show many a time. Kentad is a first time watcher, and we kind of go through it on that basis. And it is called Felonious Pundits, Esrith by name.
Amazing. And where can people find you on the internet if they would like to?
I was an early adopter of the technology. Twitter at AJ Mass.
Amazing. Lavina, where can people find you and what are you up to?
So just hanging out with the NHL season, super excited to see how it goes. Getting ready for some Big Brother content.
Yeah, celebrity Big Brother. Yeah.
Yep. Getting hyped for that. We got the logo drop today.
We love a logo drop. People were on Twitter about the logo drop. I love it.
Because it's all we really get. The celebrity stuff is super, it's locked up in a safe. They don't want it. The
morsels that we can scrounge upon. That's great.
Exactly. We'll
yeah.
We're starved. So getting ready for that. Talking some Big Brother on RHAP, hopefully coming up soon. And you guys can find me on Twitter for some hockey and, Big Brother tweets if you like chaotic stuff. Like I said, on Twitter at LPavs with 2 S's.
I fall into the Big Brother world every year. I'm a big celebrity Big Brother fan. I think it's very fun. I think the shortened season helps it. But I feel like this is the time where it's the best time to be a Big Brother fan, which is just before the season starts. And we all are optimistic about what Big Brother could give us. So exciting times. Thank you both for joining us. I am on Twitter at High From Grace, covering some stuff over on post-show recaps mostly. So doing some weekly movie coverage, although here in Ontario, our movie theaters have shut down for lockdown. So we will see what the next 2 weeks look like. We'll see if there's some stuff that is streaming. I know that Disney Plus just announced that their next Pixar movie is going to go to streaming. So we might be in luck a little bit. But yeah, weekly movie coverage been really fun. I think we'll be covering The Kingsman as well as Licorice Pizza this week over there with Ariel. Both one of those movies I really liked and one of them I was very indifferent on. We are wrapping up sort of our coverage. We're not wrapping up. We're actually basically as it drops, we're in the middle of Yellow Jackets coverage. Yellow Jackets, a Showtime show about a girls soccer team in 1996 that crashes in the wilderness, sports related. And it flashes back and forth between 1996 and 2021. It's a mystery thriller drama. It's very fun. And we are doing daily podcasts over there on post-show recaps. Myself, Josh Wigler, and Jess Sterling. That has been a lot of fun. I think there might be some more HBO coverage in the works. I'm covering Euphoria with Amon Adwin. Those podcasts will drop after the episodes air on Sunday night, as well as there's a little Olivia Colman show on HBO called The Landscapers that might be coming to your feed sooner than later. Yeah. So, yeah. Did you see it? Did you like it?
It's interesting. Well, Olivia Colman, enough said.
I know
David Thewlis, is that they're really good in it. It's an interesting story and a very interesting stylistic choice on how to present it.
I have not watched any of it yet, but am eagerly waiting so that we can be covering it on a podcast. Why would I watch something if I can't talk about it? Like sports. So this was our inaugural coverage of sports on Rob as a Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We will be back in your ears very soon. AJ Levina, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Aww.